Proverbs 12, verses 10 and 11. A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. Okay. So you can see how what you are before God and whether you have a new nature from Christ and what he has done to you by his Spirit shows up in all of your life from the top to the bottom. If you are a righteous man, then your care for those who are made in God's image, that is, people, will come from the same place that care for God's creation also ought to come. So someone who's cruel to animals, you know, is not responding to the Lord as creator, is not treasuring what God has made and preserving and its goodness and serving God and what he does in the creation. You watch out for someone who's cruel to animals. Because it may look like they are kind to people, but what does the second half of the verse say about the tender mercies of the wicked? Even those are cruel. Even those are self-seeking, manipulative. The moment that it is to their advantage to turn on you, they will. Even while they seem to be doing good things to you, their heart is not towards God or towards you. They may have many wicked motivations. Even the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. And so we should seek from God not only that we would love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but if you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that has an effect on how you interact with everyone and everything else, doesn't it? Because if you are truly loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, what will you be doing with your neighbors? You'd be loving your neighbor as yourself, right? Because your neighbor is made in the image of God. That's why murder requires the death penalty. God tells Noah in Genesis chapter 9, that the man who sheds, the one who sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for man is created in the image of God. Well, if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that especially affects how you treat believers. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. You see someone who professes the name of Christ, someone who has Christ's covenant sign on them, and you say, well, Jesus, my God and Redeemer and Savior, has sacrificed himself for this one. This one is a precious one. And you love believers as Christ has loved you. Well, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength also affects how you take care of your property, how you cultivate even plants, not because the psychotic botanists think that broccoli has a primitive nervous system and might feel things, but because God is the creator of things beautiful and things productive. And he's an orderly God. He's a God who loves, who makes things that are pleasant to the eye and pleasant for food. And loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength means you care for animals. And you notice that God has created animals with a way of interacting. No, they don't have souls. They don't love, at least not in the way that we know that God loves and man loves, because God has drawn man up into his own love. But according to the nature of the creature, as God has created it, you interact with the creature. And so there is something to, you know, creatures that are more intelligent and whose instincts align with something like companionship. It's not bad. It is in keeping with the way they've been created to have some companionship. Now, dog is not man's best friend. God is man's best friend, and a godly man is man's second best friend. But the righteous man regards the life of his animal. The righteous man also regards how tasty his animal is, because God has given the animal to us for food. That keeps us from falling into the idolatry of the environmentalists or the vegans, right? Because if our love for the animal comes from God having created it, and all of the wisdom and goodness of God and the nature of the particular animal, then also God having given us the animals for food and having made some animals tastier than others. We probably won't have you read Animal Farm, because there are some things in it that we wouldn't want you necessarily to be exposed to, or maybe when you're older. Anyway, one of the things in Animal Farm is it's a farmyard parable for communism. And the pigs are in charge, and they say all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And it's about how there's no such thing as communism. Communism is a trick that people who want to rule and abuse and plunder everyone else, they tell everyone, we're going to make you all equal. But what they mean is, we're going to make you all equally beneath us so that we can dominate you. Well, there's another truth that is true of actual pigs. Many animals are tasty, but some animals are tastier than others. And it is good to recognize the goodness of God. Things like bacon and lobster and shrimp, especially, that under the Old Covenant administration, God had held back so that when Christ comes and he opens up, takes away the Levitical law, he not only reconciles Jew and Gentile with one another, but he gives us bacon, and he gives us shrimp and lobster. And so you can see how you can come from the verse here, a righteous man regards the life of his animal. Why? Because God is the one who has made us righteous, given us forgiveness, given us our life in creation and our eternal life in redemption. And he's the one who made those animals. And we're now interacting with not just the creature, but with the creator who made it and with his purposes for it. In second place, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. Notice that it's not just he who tills his land will have bread, but God gives the food, and God gives the ability to enjoy or the ability to be satisfied, even and especially with bread and food. One of the great problems for many people in our culture, and perhaps I think based on this, probably in every culture, is that there are many people who eat, but they don't find it satisfying. And so either they have a grumbling spirit, or they eat and eat and eat and try to find a satisfaction that never comes. But notice that God has designed work as not only to be the means by which we gain food, but also the means by which he makes the food more enjoyable to us. The harder you work during the day, not only the more likely you are to get a supper, but the more likely you are to enjoy the supper that you get. Isn't our God and his wisdom good? And hasn't he set before us incentives to work in his kindness, in his generosity? Why? Because laziness is a sin. And so it is generous and good and gracious of God to add all these incentives to work. He says, I'll make your dinner more satisfying by means of you doing this righteous thing. We ought to have desired to be diligent just because God commands it. But he adds then the abundance and the satisfying quality of the food. But he who follows vanity, okay, so there's one guy who's working hard. There's another guy who's doing empty things, useless things. But he who follows frivolity is empty of, okay, so he's doing empty things and he himself is empty. And New King James says understanding, but it's actually empty of heart. He has no heart. Our hearts were created by God and for God, and we ought to love doing that which brings honor and glory to him and does us and others especially good. And God says, filling your day with empty activities exposes that you have an empty heart. A papist, and we pray that he is or would be converted, football coach would say, you're not bored, you're boring. Your desire to be entertained and you're just doing useless, vapid things all the time exposes an emptiness of heart, an emptiness of life, lacking awareness that you were made in the image of God to bring him glory, and that you have this limited time opportunity. Every day that is spent, once it's spent, it's gone. You never get it back. God in his grace can make up the years that the locusts have eaten. But you in your wickedness ought not waste years as if they would be consumed by locusts. And so we ought to be spending our time in those things that are profitable, remembering that that doesn't just mean money or productivity or health and cleanliness around the house, but also spiritually profitable things. If ever you can't find anything else profitably to do, or if you haven't spent good spiritual time already, there's always the opportunity to meditate upon God's word. That's one of the blessings of having these family worship times regularly, having your own private worship times, paying good attention in the prayer meeting, holding on to your prayer meeting sheet or your worship booklet, that you always have a bunch of material ready to hand so that if you have an extra moment, that you can at least redeem the time spiritually by meditating upon some portion of God's word, some good truth from God's word. So, let us treat everyone well, even using the creatures well, and interacting with the creatures well, the animals well. Let us be diligent and see how good our God is to us, that he gives us such incentives to diligence that we'll be satisfied, filled by, feel full from our bread. And let us not spend our lives on emptiness in a way that exposes that we are empty-hearted, God forbid, and grant to us instead to be conformed to the image of Christ, who has already been all of these things perfectly for us on our behalf, and now to whom we pray the Spirit would conform us. Let us ask him to do that now. Holy Spirit, we praise you for making Christ our wisdom. We thank you that he had compassion. Lord, help us not to be more wicked than the Pharisees over whom Jesus was grieved, that they at least didn't have compassion on the man, but at least they had compassion on their own animals. We pray, Lord, that you would make us compassionate to both. Help us to love you. Help us to love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, so that wherever we are and whatever or whomever we are interacting with, that we would do so out of love for you and recognition of people being made in your image and creatures being made in your wisdom and your goodness to us. Lord, give us diligence, we pray. We grieve over how much time is wasted, evaporated every day. And we're humbled by your word that tells us that it's really a symptom of being empty-hearted. And we pray that you would fill our hearts with love for you so that we would at least be motivated to meditate upon your word and not lose any moment that way. But do give us good work. Make our hands to find good things to do. And make us diligent all the day long, that we might delight to serve you in your world. Lord, we pray that in all of these details given to us by these two verses, you would be conforming each of these dear ones made in your image, the sign of your triune name upon them, that you would be conforming them to Christ, so that his wisdom and himself being your wisdom for us would be displayed in their lives and enjoyed by them and those whom you do good through them. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.